Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, I'll be reading verses 32 through 39. Out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Therefore, giving you a minute to think about what the therefore is there for. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it. And anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. You may be seated. Anytime we see the word therefore, we need to find out what it's there for. Because it's adding on to what's already been said. Jesus had been teaching, and he told them in verse 26, and it starts with therefore, therefore don't be afraid of them. Why? Because God is always going to be with you. Therefore don't be afraid of them. Because they can't do anything to your eternal destiny. Don't fear the one, Jesus told them, who can kill the body but not the soul. Instead, fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. And we're told about hell being an eternal fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping over the situation they're in. The gnashing of teeth is more a phrase talking about anger. They don't think they deserve being in hell. It's like one of my students, his favorite line is, that's not fair. Somebody else got to be first in line. Well, that's not fair. Well, you were first in line last time we walked somewhere. But that's not fair that somebody else gets. And that's not fair because we don't understand what fair is. And he's not alone. There are many people that talk about things not being fair. I'm not getting what I deserve. And thankfully, we don't get what we deserve. I like what Dave Ramsey says when they ask him how he's doing. He goes, better than I deserve. Because if we think about things in the eternal perspective, we all deserve hell. But there are going to be people in hell that think God got it wrong by sending them to hell. Doesn't matter that they didn't do anything to show their allegiance to God. Maybe had a bumper sticker. Or maybe had their name on a church roll somewhere. Never attended. You know, I don't think there's a church in the United States that is lacking in a spare seat. And if there are those that are full, they will always bring out chairs, and you can always sit on the floor. Reminds me of this story I heard about this church, and it was one of those times when everything was packed, and here comes in a guy, dirty clothes, looks like what we'd call a hippie. He walks in, looks around, walks down to the front, and sits down in front of the preacher. One of the elderly men, one of the deacons, got up, He's in his nice suit and everything. He walks with his cane down the aisle, sits down next to the young man. Tell the young man, I didn't want you to sit alone. Too often we judge incorrectly. We think some people don't deserve to be in church with us because we think we deserve special treatment, but we don't. Jesus is saying, don't fear people. Fear God. And God has told you that you are very valuable to Him. He said, you can get a sparrow for a penny, and that's about an hour's wages. And or you get two sparrows for an hour's wages, or you can get five for 2 hours' wages. So if you buy more, you get a discount. Jesus says you're worth more to God than many sparrows. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. And Jesus says, even God knows when a sparrow touches the ground. Everything's under God's control. And so since everything's under God's control, he says, therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now, notice it says everyone. So there's not exceptions here. There's not other ways for God to acknowledge you. Oh, I see I owe this person something, God might say. So we got to let him into heaven. No, God doesn't owe us anything. And everyone who will acknowledge me, and that word acknowledge literally in the Greek means confess in me. Now that means I am unified in my allegiance to Jesus. I identify with Jesus. I'm one of his. It's not like in James chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Just acknowledging that Jesus is who he said he is doesn't save you. It's identifying with him, being united with him, following what he says to do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Just saying you're a Christian doesn't make you one. But the identifying with Jesus, and Jesus says, if anyone will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And literally in the Greek there, it means that I will confess in him. So Jesus will say, we're one. We're together. We're part of a group. Jesus then warns, verse 33, but whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. There are people that are not faced with anything other than a strange look from their co-workers will not acknowledge that they're a Christian. We want to let other people think we're not a Christian. But Jesus says, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. But there's hope. Because one early morning, someone that had been following Jesus was confronted and said, you're part of his group, aren't you? No, I'm not. A little bit later, someone asked him again, you're part of his group, aren't you? No, I'm not. And the third time they said, you're part of his group, aren't you? No, I'm not. And then a rooster crowed. And Peter had denied his master three times. But Jesus gives forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Denying Jesus once, twice, three times, there's still forgiveness. God will forgive every confessed sin. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And then Jesus goes on to say, don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The expected role of Messiah in Jewish mindset was one that would bring peace to Israel by overthrowing the enemies that opposed them. About 100 or so years before Jesus said these words, there was a revolt against the Greek Empire, which was in charge of Israel at the time. And a man named Judas Maccabees led a revolt, and they overthrew the Greek government, and they had a time of peace. They were looking for another Judas Maccabees in the Messiah. But Jesus didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. If we look at Luke, where the shepherds are given the message from the angels as they sing, they said, peace on earth to those whom he favors. Not peace everywhere, but peace to those he favors. That's in, let's see where I know I wrote, Luke 2, 13 and 14. Jesus didn't come to bring peace to the world. He came to bring peace to individuals in the world. Jesus says, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. We have peace in the midst of the storm. If we look at Micah chapter 7, and I'll have you turn there with me. Micah chapter 7. Right after Jonah. You know, that really helps, right? Those of you that have electronic Bibles, you got the advantage. Micah chapter 7. Yeah, right before Nahum. Yeah. Verse 1. How sad for me, for I am like one who, when the summer fruit has been gathered, after the gleaning of the grape harvest, finds no grape cluster to eat, no early fig which I crave. Faithful people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. All of them wait in ambush to shed blood. They hunt each other with a net. Both hands are good at accomplishing evil. The official and the judge demand a bribe. When the powerful man communicates his evil desire, they plot it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a hedge of thorns. The day of your watchman, the day of your punishment is coming. At this time, their panic is here. Do not rely on a friend. Don't trust in a close companion. Seal your mouth from the woman who lies in your arms. Surely a son considers his father a fool. A daughter opposes her mother, and a daughter-in-law is against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Jesus is quoting from Micah when he tells him, there's going to be trouble even among your close relatives because there's a decision that needs to be made. Are you going to choose love of God or love of anything else? What's going to be more important to you, your relationship with God or your relationship with your family, who don't follow God. There are many situations where individuals have become Christians and they've been disowned by their family. Jesus says we have to make a choice. Who are we going to follow? Who is more important to us? Look at verse 37. The one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus says we have to make a choice. Who is going to be number one? Now, often we've heard about take up your cross and follow me. Sometimes we've heard very incorrectly it means carry your own burden. No, it doesn't mean carry your own burden. Jesus says cast all our burdens on him. We have to remember what it meant at that time. Jesus, when speaking these words, just a few years earlier, there had been a revolt in Galilee led by a zealot, a freedom fighter named Judas. The Roman general Varius had conquered the revolt, had suppressed it. And to show the Jewish people that they better not do that again, he took 2,000 Jewish citizens and crucified them and placed them along all the roads in Galilee. So everywhere you went in Galilee, you saw a body that had been crucified because of a rebellion against the Roman government. When Jesus says, take up your cross, it's like the phrase that you hear in prison when someone's on death row heading to their execution. If you saw the movie The Green Mile, or there's also another movie about this nun that ministers to people on death row called Dead Man Walking. In the movie, The Green Mile, as the person is walking to their execution, the guards are saying, dead man walking. Because he's not coming back. He's heading to his execution. When Jesus is saying, take up your cross, he's saying, you're a dead man walking. You are going to die to yourself and live for Christ. Because he goes on and says, whoever seeks to gain his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. Look in verse 39. Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. We have to make a choice. What's most important? Friends, family, our own life, or eternity with God in heaven. Many have made the choice to follow the example of Jesus and die without backing down from the truth. I was reading a story about during the reign of Idi Amin, there were three young men from, I think, between 11 and 15 that Idi Amin demanded that they renounce their Christian faith. They refused. They went and were burned alive for their faith. They sent a message to Idi Amin saying, the fire will be short and then we'll be with our Lord. We ask you, King, to avoid the fires that go on forever. we ask you to repent and turn to Jesus. Many people came to faith because of those three boys' unwillingness to deny Jesus. Many have died for their faith. But dying for your faith, you immediately go into the presence of God in heaven. Denying Jesus and dying, having denied without forgiveness, is an eternity in hell. The choice is ours. What's most important? Being right with God or being okay with the crowds and the friends and those that we interact with? Hopefully it'll be both. In heaven it is. We'll be right with God and everybody around us. One guy, I think Todd Friel, said, there's one thing you can't do in heaven. You can't lead somebody to Christ. They're already Christians. So we get the opportunity to share Jesus with people now. What are you going to do? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you that you love us so much that you provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. Lord, you've called us to make a choice between you and anything else. Let us choose you above all. Let us look expectantly for that day when we will hear from you. Enter into heaven, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.